Welcome to Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. I'm Troy Skinner. I want to thank our sponsor, Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? On the panel again this week, Tim May, pastor of Pleasant View Church of the Brethren, and Jonathan Schweitzer, senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel in Frederick. And if it's your first time listening, welcome. Frederick Faith Debate is an honest and open forum where our local religious leaders get together on a regular basis to talk about things that, well, they might not normally get to talk about unless they came on this show. You know, sometimes we have a Christian and non-Christian perspective. How often do they get a chance to really, match wits and clash worldviews?
Every day.
And when Christian pastors get together, usually I would think it's more about how can we work together, what can we do to reach out to Frederick, that sort of thing. And probably not a ton of time is spent trying to understand some of the finer points of theological positions, splitting hairs and that sort of thing. And that's what we get to do on this show. If you're listening last week, we frustratingly ran out of time. And between this week and last week, Tim's a powerful man, but he couldn't persuade Frank Mitchell to give us more time this week than last week.
Not yet, Troy. I'm working on it.
So we've got the same amount of time this week that we've had historically on the show.
Yes.
We're talking about pietism. What does that mean? Well, we went into a lengthy discussion of that, but let me give you the kernel of it. Basically, it's a traditional view held in a segment of the Protestant Christian tradition that says something that some might describe as passivism, although Tim has been very careful to say it's not passivism exactly, but to try to get you to understand, it's a non-violent kind of approach to life. It's a not being immersed in the things of this world kind of thing, which might involve taking up arms to go fight in a war, for example, those sorts of things. And so that's kind of where we left off last week. And I want to pick up with that and change it just a little bit.
Sure.
Let's not put it in the war context.
Okay.
What is the brethren position, the pietist position on serving in law enforcement and carrying a weapon?
All for it, no opposition. Understand that the first of all, I need to do a disclaimer. I wish that I had the authority to speak on behalf of the Church of the Brethren. I speak on my behalf, as my understanding of the faith. I don't want to mislead anyone.
Right.
Yeah, and you know also that the Brethren are not participating pietists at this time. That's their history.
Right.
Because if you missed a couple shows ago, that's where we came from. We're not there now. We're not pietists.
Right.
Yeah, there is no objection to that, to owning weapons. We have some of the greatest hunters and fishermen and in our congregation. It's wonderful. And so there's no, it's not, I would hope that most faiths allow people to possess arms. I don't see a conflict with Christ in there at all.
If somebody in...
Remember, I was a cop.
Which is why I'm asking you the question. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to connect these dots. Like, how
and
does it
you were
fit?
Sergeant in the Army.
Yeah, sergeant in the Army.
And you're a judge. And the pietist position would be to not really be involved in politics.
I'm not a pietist. You see that already. I'm not a pietist.
So.
I have a disclaimer. I'm not a pietist. I'm a brethren. Big difference.
Yes. Good. Excellent.
But if somebody in your congregation was to enter the military, your advice to them would be that they should make a point to say, I don't want to be one who's carrying arms.
No.
Or
no.
Not.
I have those people. I have a young Marine in the congregation. My advice to that individual is to get on your knees and pray to your God, to God through Jesus Christ, and you talk with him and let him lead you and you follow that direction. I'm not Christ and I'm not God and I'm not telling you what to do. You do what the Lord tells you to do. If he chose to take up arms or anything and he felt that the Lord was leading him this way, then I would have no objection.
Now, would you point him in the direction of certain passages?
I would
passages
point him to scripture.
Scripture.
Oh, certainly. Sure.
Like which passages would you encourage him to consider?
An eye for an eye.
I was just joking.
I was just agitating. Look, I've been here long enough that I can agitate now. No, I don't know. I would go to the Sermon on the Mount and something like that. It must be the peacemakers would be. I would hand him love sermons or love messages, but I would also respect, as I told you before, that I'm no closer to Christ than any of my members. So I don't want to be his answer machine. I will certainly guide him and point him, but I certainly won't make his decisions for him. I have a young lady came to me in a former parish and says, Pastor, I'm pregnant. What should I do? Well, you know, I said,
eat right, get plenty of rest, drink your fluids,
and pray a lot. But I think she was, you know, and you know, not to make dramatics out of this, but she was looking to me for permission, and I said, you have my permission to have the most beautiful child you can have, and you know, the Lord will guide you in this. You know, the fact that you've sinned is forgivable, but we're not going to compound that. And I can say she had a beautiful child. She was not able to keep it. It has been adopted out by a good family. Does she have regrets? Sure, she has regrets. But I think she knows deep inside that she's been blessed by her Lord.
Now, it's interesting. When Jonathan asked the question, actually, he kind of sort of read my mind, because I was going to ask almost the same question about which passages you might point them to.
Yeah.
I don't know if you purposely did this, but the ones that came to mind that you shared
were the love.
Are all the love leaning towards a pacifist understanding.
Yes.
Would you also offer some counterbalancing
like Romans
passages?
13 and...
No, I wouldn't. I don't think I would, because, again, depending on the individual, depending who am I speaking with, depending on their knowledge of the Scripture, I would answer questions more than I would directly lead them to, because I think you can pick and choose which way you want to make a decision. You know, do I pick a love passage? Do I pick up and stand and fight for what's right? Do I face my oppressors, or do I listen to Christ and say, you know, don't swing the sword? There are so many paths that I could pick and choose, and I think I could manipulate. And it's not my job to manipulate. I think I can lead them into the passages. I can read below Romans. I can put them in Luke. I can put them anywhere.
What do you think about that, Jonathan? You think you feel the same way about that, though you could kind of build a case depending on what your predisposition is on the, or do you think that there's a way to harmonize those and come up with something that's a little bit less subjective?
Well, I would say that I like the idea of not just coming up with a policy that, you know, where you say, okay, I've studied out Scripture and all the relevant passages, and I came up with this formula, as it were, you know, in terms of where it stands, even though you know that I'm inclined in that direction. I mean, I'm inclined to, you know, just personally, I like to hash it out. Well, what does Scripture actually say, you know, and come to some kind of a conclusion? But I like the orientation that says, okay, let's not just come up with a policy. Yeah, let's study all the passages of Scripture. But at the end of the day, once we've studied all the passages of Scripture, let's get down on our knees and let's pray and say, ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want me to do here?
Lead me.
You know, lead me personally.
Amen.
Lord, what's the next step that you want for me? And to really ask it to be a personal thing between you and the Lord. And I think he'll respond to that, and he'll respond with giving you some clarity in some direction, as opposed to what you're warning against. And and I think, you know, that the danger would be is that you could prove from Scripture that God is a war God.
Yeah.
And he wants to drive the Canaanites out out of the promised land, and he wants to drive them out of every place where they are around the world. You know, we're going to drive the communists out. Yep. You know, we're going to drive the socialists out and the atheists and turn things. And I think it's also, though, possible to turn, you know, for people to grab certain passages and come out and say, you know what? I believe that you should never take up arms, and that it's never okay to be involved in any war. And again, I think that it would miss, you know, the clear teaching of Scripture. And more important for a Christian is, what's God leading them to do? Based on their understanding of Scripture, genuinely at their heart level, studying it out, what is God leading them to do?
I think people misunderstand the role of a pastor. And I think pastors misunderstand the role of a pastor. I believe I'm a shepherd. I believe I'm there to help, to lead to people. I'm not really leading them to Christ. I'm leading Christ to them. And when I start making decisions for them, I don't want somebody that's in a war somewhere saying, well, my pastor said don't shoot back, and they get shot. It's not what I say. It's what the Scripture says and what the Lord leads them to do.
All of which comes back to a reaction against the Pope saying do this or don't do this.
Exactly.
You know, all of which would be a hierarchical orientation that is a worldly orientation instead going
which
back to
biblical, which is totally not biblical.
And trust me, I'm not saying that you as pastors or anybody in that sort of position should be telling people what to do. But aren't you, if you say, well, here's a really strong argument for this and here's a really strong argument for that, and they seem to be polar opposites, go figure it out. I mean, for them, somebody who's not already a Christian, this is one of the...
It'll drive them crazy.
Well, this is one of the things we that this Christians is why are charged people, with. It's a contradiction. Scripture is self-contradictory. How can you believe anything it says?
Well, I think that's what runs people away from Christianity or runs people away from the church, is because it is confusing. And one of the things that you'll have a new life come to your church. I don't mean a baby, but a new life. And they want to learn. And there's nothing more exciting for a pastor to see a new person who wants to get in the Spirit, who wants to learn. And the pastor will say to them, well, you got to go read that Bible. And they go home and they read that Bible and they open it up. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth without form. Well, this is stupid. Let me go X. Well, that makes no sense. Oh, Numbers, Chronicles, and you lose them. Whereas if you take someone in and you get them interested, you get the Spirit, and you say, all right, you want to start learning about Christ, let me go to John. Read something that makes sense, where you can get meat out of it. So I think we're our biggest enemies in the church by not bringing, why more people don't adopt, by people coming up with that question. Well, what's the answer? And you say, what's in the Bible? Well, any answer that we know the answer's in the Bible, it's just, what answer do you want? And I'm not copying out on the question here as much as I'm saying that it once you become a Christian, once you understand and once you want to follow as a Christian, remember my words that Christianity is a verb. It's a way of life. Then you must engross yourself in the gospel.
Here's what I think I would prefer more personally. You know, if somebody comes and they're seeking counsel, rather than saying, you know, go read your Bible or go read these passages or whatever, I think it'd be better if you do really feel like it is a gray area and it's really an issue of their personal conscience to figure out. I think it's good to give them some meat to that counsel rather than just say, here are a couple of passages, go read and pray about it, fend for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the training, the experience, the background, whatever that a seasoned pastor like yourself would have. So it seems like it would be appropriate for you to say, all right, these are the passages that would seem to point in one direction. Here are some of the meritorious arguments in that direction. Here's what some people have said. Here's what other people have said in reaction to that. And then here are some other passages that would seem to say the opposite. Here's what people have said. Here's what other people have said. And obviously there are people out there trying to harmonize those because the Bible is not self-contradictory. And here's how they try to parse that out. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I've just told you what the three main ways of trying to view this are. Now go pray about it. Now they're equipped and
I think you lost me back there on that first part. I think, you know, yes, if you had a learned Christian, I think you're fine with what you just said. But what you just said to a young man who's 18 years old, boy, I want an answer. I don't want all that.
If the person that I'm talking to is educated enough
biblically
and
educated,
thoughtful enough, even not even biblically educated, but just the kind of person that's thoughtful and is able mentally to go there, I think I'd be perfectly comfortable doing what you just described, Troy. If, however, I don't feel like the person is the kind of person that can keep with all of what you just walked through, I think I would stop and I'd say, well, why don't you tell me what you think?
Amen.
And when they tell me what they think, then I can get a sense for where they may not have a biblical perspective on what they're doing. I'll say, well, now that's very interesting because I've heard that. What I would recommend is that you check out this passage and this passage. Here, let's go there together and let's read it together. And, all right, now what do you see it saying? And they tell me what they see it saying. And I say, well, yes, that's right. Or no, I think, you know, mm-hmm. you also want to add this perspective in terms of, you know, understanding that passage. And I would handle it a little bit more, less so didactic.
Yeah,
I think with
case,
some people, you're just going to get lost.
By the way, exactly. you're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. I'm Troy Skinner. He's John Schweitzer, and he's Tim May. I think that what...
I think I'm saying the same thing. I'm just approaching it
I think the only real difference between what you're saying and what Tim said earlier ends up coming around and ends up being the same thing, only in reverse. Does that make any sense? Tim mm-hmm. was saying, I don't want to give them the answer. I just want to point them in a direction, pointing out some passages. And you're saying it a little more firmly than by saying, well, I'll ask them some questions, see what they think, and then I'll point out the passages. But in both cases, you're pointing them to passages that are going to lead them down the path you want them to go anyway.
Well, I don't say that. I don't want to give them an answer. I want them to reach the answer by asking those questions. I think we've convoluted this question. If a man came to me and says, can I pick up arms and go to the war? I want to join the Marine Corps. God bless you, real good. I'll pray for you daily. Do you have any questions? Yeah, is it all right? Can I be a member of God's family if I take up arms? Yes. Can I be a member of God's family if I kill someone? not if you murder them, but if you, you certainly there's texts that allow you to take up arms. The Bible doesn't say you can't kill; it says you can't murder. And I, you know, so there's all kinds of arguments there. I think we've convoluted a very simple. I've had these conversations with young men, and it's never gone more than okay. I feel right now. I pray the Lord is telling me, is leading me. It's okay to do this. You know, you live a Christian life in the military also. And I think we're convoluting an easier issue.
I think it's true. I think if somebody comes to you and asks, hey, should I do this? Is it okay to do this in God? You're dealing with a different question. Whereas if I've got a class where I'm teaching some
people,
you know, and I had the chance to dig in and to deal with it from different perspectives, in either one of those situations, it is true that my basic approach to war is going to come out.
Sure.
And if they're young in the Lord, they may just choose to adopt what I say. And I'm not so opposed to that because I feel like I've worked hard enough that that's not going to lead them astray. However, my goal eventually, whether it's in a classroom with people where we can really think it through or somebody that's just trying to figure out for their own life to make a personal decision whether they should join the Marines or not, in both those situations, my goal, if they're young in the Lord, is to help them to grow up in the Lord.
Amen.
And to grow to the place where they can seek the Lord for themselves, where they can study Scripture for themselves. In the meantime, they're probably going to end up swallowing a lot of John Schweitzer's personal convictions. And that may be 10 years, maybe 15 years before they even start to question whether or not what John Schweitzer taught them was right or wrong and really dig through those things in Scripture. That's fine. I understand that's going to happen. Nevertheless, the goal is that each individual is growing to be able to study and learn the Scriptures for themselves and come to conviction that's not my conviction, but is a personal conviction. That takes time. I recognize that takes time.
Yeah, now that we've talked it out more, we're probably going to, and as it usually happens, if you talk it out more, you end up in an area of more agreement because some of it's semantics, some of it you didn't fully give voice to your thoughts or whatever. The one thing I was kind of arguing against, I guess, was to make it really quick and simple and easy and say, oh, you have this really important life-changing decision to make. Here's two verses to read. Go pray about it. And you gave them 5 seconds of your time to give them that quote-unquote advice. Rather than getting more into
Amen.
It. How are you feeling? Why do you feel that way?
Yeah.
What have you read in Scripture that leads you that? Or what are you feeling God's telling when you pray to feel that way? And what have you? And even just to play quote-unquote devil's advocate sometimes to then say, well, have you thought about this? What about that passage? To make sure they've thought it through and take the time.
Well, I think also, Jonathan, or Troy, you're so much alike.
oh, no, you didn't just say that. Oh, Lord, help us.
There's worse things in life than being like me.
Notice Troy saying
that. I thought that was the point, that we come and debate, not
Troy's
agree with one another.
That, not Jonathan.
Yeah, yeah.
I think one of the pastoral things in my life is when you, first of all, if you ever have the opportunity, and I love the opportunity, when anyone comes to me and says, Pastor, I need to talk to you, that's an opportunity not only to answer that one question, but that answer is to really enthuse him, encourage him, and bless him with so much that he's going away with a lot more than he came in for. So it's not going to be like, go read these things, because I'm not going to do that to people, because I don't think the Lord leads us to do that. I'm going to take more time than he wants to take.
Maybe I'm not the norm, but here's an example. There was a while back, Jonathan and I hadn't known each other that long, and we were in a context where there was discussion taking place about the death penalty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, I had a view then that I don't have anymore. My view has modified as a result of that conversation.
Yeah.
And I think, to be honest with you, I think that Jonathan's view slightly shifted a little bit because of that conversation as well.
Yeah.
But those shifts took place because it wasn't like, well, here's a couple of verses, read them and see what you think. I would have stayed exactly where I was. But instead he was, but what about this? Have you thought about this? What about this other passage? Have you thought this through? He wasn't telling me what to think. He was just challenging my thinking and making sure that whatever my thinking was, that it was rooted in the Scripture.
That's the job, is to make you think, is to make you get on your knees to pray, is to make you. And I think that's the greater job. Remember, I'm just a messenger, and the message is way back there. So I think
my dad used to always say that pedagogy has to do with the foot, and you walk them into the truth, and whether it's, sometimes I'll look at somebody and be like, all right, read this passage, and you get, you know, and then come back and talk to me. Some people, I can do that because I read the person. I'm like, sure. Well, that's what they need.
Sure.
Somebody else, you know, I might approach it. Well, tell me how you're feeling about it. You
exactly.
know, talk it out with them. You know, and so your point, Troy, is that a pastor's responsibility is to lead them into the truth, mm-hmm. to help to lead them into understanding
yeah,
the will of
I,
God
and
understanding
that.
The voice of God.
Right.
And so, yeah, and you're just concerned to make sure that we're not just saying, okay, well, go read this
right.
passage, go yeah. read that passage, that
read
kind
this,
of thing. Yeah,
a lot of churches are famous for pamphlets or for you know, here, read
yeah.
this one. This
yeah,
one
yeah.
for you.
Oh, here's a great
you're
book like, about that.
You
read this
how many
and
pay
tell
car
me what you
here's
think.
Here's one on car payments.
Because more often than not, really what ends up happening is you might not be telling them what to do, per se, but you really are, by default, telling what to do. You've asked them a question that might have two answers, and you've only given them one of the two answers
remember,
to even consider.
Remember, again, I say it the other
I'm
way.
I'm saying you figuratively.
I know, I know.
You,
and
a person, a pastor.
You
yeah.
I say it backwards. As I'm not bringing that person to a decision. I'm bringing Christ to them to make that decision. And I know it may be semantics too, but it means so much different to me. That's my responsibility.
Do we have enough time to ask him about that? To kind
yeah,
of dig in on that?
Yeah, we have 5 minutes.
What does that mean,
it means
to bring Christ to somebody? Because I'd be of the opinion that Christ has already come and made himself available.
No,
you know,
in the womb, yeah.
That there's not more to
well,
bridge
I
the gap, that the point is we need to help bring people to Christ. And so,
well, I don't believe
what do you mean by that?
Because I think that my thinking is in, religiously about this, or that you made me think. I don't know that I can bring anyone to Christ.
Yeah.
I don't have that power. I can't make anyone do anything or stop doing anything.
Do you have the power to bring Christ to people?
Yes.
I guess you're sent. That's the point, is that we're
see,
sent.
See, I'm sent out from Christ.
Okay.
To,
okay
that's
okay.
my. I'm the. That's just the way I see my
bringing
role.
Bringing somebody to Christ feels manipulative.
Like I'm going
to like
right.
stick a ring in their nose and
or
bring
I was
to Christ
himself,
and make them drink.
Or I was Christ himself.
Right.
You come with me. You
yeah.
come with me. I don't have that power.
Right.
But
or
I have
authority.
The, or authority. But I do have the power.
You do have the authority to make disciples.
Oh, yeah.
And calling them to come follow was definitely a disciple, part of the disciple-making process.
Right, and it would become it to minister, and I agree there. But I just see myself pragmatically or
you're making a distinction in your
yeah,
heart.
In my heart, that I'm going out there and I'm saying, here's what Christ has for you. Every Sunday I preach. This is what the Lord has for you. This is what Jesus can do in your life. This is what's available to you. This is the food. This is the meal. This, you know, take it. You know, here it is for you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that is, obviously it's working. We have a very.
I think it's very important to stay away from being manipulative.
Yes.
And trying to
oh, yeah.
strong arm people
Amen.
Into things.
Amen.
And so, okay, I hear the heart of what you're saying on that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm bringing Christ to people.
Now, once upon a time, there was a position in the Pietist movement that it would be.
He loves this word.
It would be wrong.
Yes.
To take up arms.
Peter Pietist.
Right?
Yes.
The Christians shouldn't do that. You obviously don't hold that position.
Don't hold that at all.
So this might be an unfair question, but anybody that's, let's say the Amish, they probably maybe still hold to that
they
kind
do.
Of position.
They do.
Are they theologically wrong? You
no.
Think?
Absolutely not. I don't think it's a theological question. I think that if they choose not to hold arms or if they choose to interpret the Bible in that way, I would not fault them for that. I don't think it's my, I don't think I have Jonathan's word, the power of the authority.
But if they think you're wrong for taking up arms, would they be theologically wrong there?
I think they would be closer to being right than I would be to being wrong.
Right, because
how you, like
you
that
lean
answer?
In the direction personally
yes.
of
yes.
saying that don't take up arms
correct.
Unless what?
Well,
what would be a situation where you would say it's okay to?
Well,
for example, you said you carry a gun.
Right. I think one of the times I was interviewed by a church one time, I issued a call to me, and I was young and small children, and they said, well, now, would you, if someone broke into your house and grabbed your wife and children.
Hypothetical situation.
Hypodermically speaking. And I said, would you grow arms? I said, yeah, I'd break them in half. They would be blood from one end to the other. He says, well, you're not qualified. And I said, show me.
In Scripture.
In Scripture. And, of course, he went through several things that he felt would really make an impression upon me. And after he finished preaching to me, he says, well, what would you do now? I said, I doubt if he got as far the second time as he would have the first. So I think that... again,
when you're defending your
defending
home and your wife
when
and
you're
your
defending,
kids.
When you're defending Christ, I would take arms to defend Christ.
You would?
I would.
How so?
See, I don't know that I would.
Here's why. Here's how. What if, as I see this nation, I think Christ is under attack. I think Jesus Christ is being attacked.
Yeah.
And it's hard not to admit that. I think Christianity, let me say Christ, but let me say Christianity, we're under fire right now.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't say take up arms like rifles and things, but I'm taking up the call right now that I believe that we're in a war right now. And I see it as a major part of the Christian faith.
Okay, but what weapons do you use in that war?
Well, that one I would use the
prayer,
scripture, preaching of the word. Yes, yeah, sure. But
okay, but that's not quite answering the question.
One more,
though.
And government.
I mean, I appreciate where you're going with that. I think it's a valid point.
We all agree with that.
But we're still dealing with the question. We didn't quite get to it, so maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
You guys up for one more show next week?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, let's do one more together.
All right, thanks for listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. Jonathan Schweitzer, Senior Pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel. Tim May, Pastor of Pleasant View Church of the Brethren. Did I say I'm Troy Skinner? Well, I did just now.
Now you are.
Visit us online, WFMD.com, keyword faith. And I can't remember if I thanked our sponsor again or not either, so we knew that.
Yes.
Putman Plumbing and Heating, how can we make you smile? Thanks for listening. God bless.